popping up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up.
Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there. Another week in the books. Friday. We're getting down on Friday. Nathan Zagura.
You're diversifying the...
I got to keep them fresh. Keep it fresh, like Bitmoji. They sent us a new pack of Bitmojis, which we're going to start sharing with Jason Gibbs throughout the show.
Once we get a text, you open up that line, Gibbs. It's open, on like Donkey Kong.
As soon as you get it.
Boy, I can't wait.
How are you doing, brother?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I'm good, man. It's Friday. I'm trying to figure out a tea time for tomorrow.
Did the reception answers start pouring in yet?
Yeah, naturally the first one comes back and it doesn't have a name on it. So I'm like, sweet. Now I got to talk my lady off the ledge. I'm like, honey, we sent them out. We tried to reach out to everybody. We'll see what happens.
How many?
By the way, it was so I okay. I got it and went through it. Fantastic. Yeah. And the reasons for or against attending are absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Oh.
I like free
and you
food.
almost warn people not to be those people that overdress for this wedding because you state exactly what you'll be wearing.
Yeah, my buddy texted me this morning. He goes, "So I really can wear shorts and flip flops," and I was like, "Yes."
And how many people do you invite?
Out
of curiosity,
a lot. We're probably expecting three bills.
Whoa!
You have to understand.
We both looked at each other, whoa, what?
Yeah, I know. Nothing like a small party turning into one hell of a big party.
Wow.
You got to understand, my fiance, she's one of six.
Okay.
Her dad's one of nine. Her mom's one of 11.
Ooh.
It's becoming a family
it's
reunion.
Just a numbers
my mom's
game.
One of eight.
Yeah.
And I think that's crazy.
Yeah. There's more second cousins and... I don't even know half of these people.
Well, if you budget properly and you understand your cost per plate, it's very easy to eliminate some of those people, which is what I did.
Well, I tried.
I know. You make your best effort.
Well, and here's the thing. A lot of these people live out of state. I'm banking on them not coming.
Yes.
However, the invite has gone over so well that I feared that people are like, I want to be
How can I miss that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So while it's all creative and everything, I feel like
it might have been too good.
Yeah.
It might have been too good. A victim of your own
How
success.
How big is it? Are you doing a bonfire, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. One word for an amazing bonfire? Pallets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, lots of pallets.
No, definitely.
Like, that's what you like. That's the base.
That's the way you make a strong, large, stress-free bonfire. Lots of pallets. Because you can stack them high.
Yep, exactly.
They're made of wood. And you don't need to continually throw something out. You can't throw more pallets and more pallets and more pallets. It's just like if you stack them right the first time, it'll burn for a long time.
You know what I also think is pretty cool?
What?
Is when you throw a lot of like lighter fluid on it.
Or someone
I
has
agree.
Like a yeah. pocket full of fireworks.
There is. Please
and
do not
scare
throw
the old
fireworks.
People.
I'm excited. I happen to fancy myself a very good like wilderman. Fireman in the I always like to have a fire pit or you know like a and make fires throughout the summer, and I enjoy it. And nothing I enjoy more than a little long distance lighter fluid squirt, which I know is dangerous. So if one day I come back and I'm like severely messed
just
up,
just so everybody listening is we're professionals.
Yes, I am
a
professional.
Try
yes.
it at home.
I consider myself one of the you know
we have
top
learned
ranked,
from Jason Pierre-Paul,
one of the top ranked firemen you know west of the Mississippi,
Wilderman
or east of the Mississippi, wherever I am in relation to it. I believe east. East of the
so.
Mississippi. Well, I grew up in California. One time I was west, but so I've had to.
As was I.
I've been on both sides of the old Mississippi.
Yeah, no, I'm all about the fire, and the more lighter fluid you can put on the fire, I'm even more into it.
Yeah, I think that's the fun part when you get the whoosh.
Yes.
You can hear the whoosh. Yeah, 100%. I'm excited. I feel like this is a golfing week. Are you golfing, Wilhelm, this weekend?
I don't know. I got I mean, it's Giants Panthers on Saturday. So
it's a big day. What time is the kickoff? I want to. I want to send you some messages.
4:30.
I want to be in tune. Can we get? Can I get some type of, you know,
updates?
Yeah.
No, not during the game.
All business.
All business.
Like, is your phone like? Is it locked away so you are not distracted?
Yes. I check it once a game, because my wife, who sits sidelines, you know, keeps me like. The one message she always gives me.
She might give you a chill the out.
She gives me this message when I leave the house, usually because I take Mason ahead to get there and kind of get our mind right and, you know, rally the kids. Is
I love how you're getting minds right at 7.
No, I literally do. I mean, like 10 minutes before game
time. Dude, hold on. This is reminds me. Let me just interject. He is so fired up for this Giants-Panthers game. I know you want to play. You want to put the flags on and you want to get out there and stick it to the G-men. But it reminds me of, like, in high school, Bishop O'Dowd was our big rival. And, like, O'Dowd week, the coach would be like, it's O'Dowd week, O'Dowd week, all week long. Like, it's O'Dowd week. And then he got real mad at us one time and started screaming at us, it's O'Dowd week, and threw something. And then our assistant coach, Coach B, had, like, went and picked up the clipboard that the coach had thrown and then threw it and goes, and I'm pissed too. It was a great classic moment. But I can see that you and Dr. Kurt, like,
we had practice on
Giants week.
We had practice on Tuesday. And usually it's I break it down with who are we, and we say, you know, our name. When we were the Colts in the fall and we're the Giants now, it's who are we, Giants. And it was beat the Panthers. That was our breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, and like you said, get them in, get their mind right, because when the kids come in, the force, I mean, it's vending machines everywhere. You know, my son's more worried about how many quarters he has in my bag for after the game.
Gumball.
Than he really is to play the game, sort of. But I'm just like, dude. And I told him, I go, you ain't getting nothing if you don't win this football game. So we're walking out empty-handed, bro. So you better get your mind right. So that, but I, like, when I see, because there's a game going on ahead of us on the field, so you just can't immediately take the field. When there's about 5 to 7 minutes left, I literally, like, rally my kids, and I'm like, calm down. Because when they see each other, it's like a birthday party. They just spaz. Yep. You know, if you let the kids just go, they just spaz out, chasing, playing tag, chasing butterflies and all that. And I'm just like, dude, chill.
Chill.
Let's go. And then I get them all in a line, and I start talking game plan and, like, what we're going to do. And
whiteboard them a little bit.
I do whiteboard them a little bit. I can't walk through, I whiteboard to help them understand. So I go, if I call this up, you're going to know you've seen it before.
Yeah, I love this. So what are the uniforms? Is it a T-shirt with,
it's a standard T-shirt. So we're in a royal blue T-shirt.
Okay. Does it have the actual Giants logo on it?
It does not. It does. It just has, like, West Shore, you know, 26, West Shore football 2016. But, you know, and then just a number on the back for all the kids.
Because I could, like, see you doing, like, a speech. Like, if they actually had a shirt that had the Carolina Panthers logo on, I could see you, like, put in a projector and show that logo.
And just,
this logo makes me sick!
Well, I mean, 50% of this team played with me in fall.
Rip it in half. Yeah. This is what we're going to do to them.
50% of these guys played with me in the fall.
Uh-huh.
And we went, you know, we were another good football team, and we went undefeated. And I kind of sponsored a Dave and Buster's night to celebrate, had the private little area, gave trophies to the kids.
They're not going there if they don't beat the Panthers.
Out of my pocket, you know, paid for the trophies, had a good night, you know, got the food, picked up the game cards, all that good stuff. And it's like, I told the kids that come back, I go, what happens if we go undefeated and we win the season? What do we get? They know what they get.
Dave and Buster's.
I go, you lose this game, it's off the table.
Forget it.
I go, you're just somebody else.
Forget it. You're just another person.
Just another
you're
team.
Just a normal
you're not
7-year-old.
Even my son.
Just a 7-year-old. Eight.
Hey, eight-year-old. Why is the Browns video team not there covering this for Browns.com?
I don't know.
I think it would be awesome. The thing is, it's perfect off-season.
When Coach Saunders was drawing up routes in his Cleveland Browns playbook, I had just made a few revisions to the Giants second grade flag football playbook, and I had to walk in there and show him. He goes, where do you play? And I'm like, oh, it's Force Academy, you know, or whatever, soccer academy over there in Rocky River. He's like, because I live on Crocker Park in Crocker. He's, you know, renting in Crocker Park, him and his wife. And he's just like, and I go, dude, I'm no more than 12 minutes away. He goes, you get me a schedule, I'm gonna come to a game. Because, I mean, we were talking about, you know, counters and leverage. And I'm like, and I looked at him. I'm like, Coach, come on. I was like, I got it all.
I need to call out Coach.
I got it all.
Coach needs to be there tomorrow.
I got it all.
I think we need, I mean.
I don't know if I want him there tomorrow. Too much pressure.
There's a lot of pressure tomorrow, yeah.
And here's the thing.
I want to ask one question.
Go ahead.
Let's say, okay, you guys are up. Are there point afters? So you score, yes. You get six, and then there's a one.
You can take a one or a two.
A one or a two.
One is from the three. A two is from the six.
All right, let's say that you guys are up five on the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Last play of the game, they throw some crazy trickeration, and it ends up with their player sprinting towards the end zone down your sideline.
No.
Is Matt Wilhelm spearing this kid to preserve the victory?
No. No.
Tripping him?
No. No.
I think it's totally possible.
A pick'em in Vegas,
no,
baby.
It's a
pick'em in Vegas, Gibbs.
Oh, God. We had a kid, you know, Coach Dr. Kurt does a good job with the defense. I think we've been scored on three times all year. And we had three guys miss a flag on one kid. He comes running down the sideline right by me. And me, my eyes immediately go, I'm in favor of my team. I don't want to have, you know, we had a shutout intact. My eyes immediately go like a referee's eyes would go because the referee was technically out of position, you know, because there's one guy covering the whole field. My eyes go to the white line, and both the referee looked at me and their two coaches looked at me, and I just had to be honest, and I go, he was in the whole way. It was a great run. You know, and you give the kid five. You applaud him. Did I want to have a little bit of, you know, a little chalk fly? Absolutely. But I was honest, and I said he didn't step out because the referee didn't call it anyway. You know, he said he was in. I said I verified he's in, and the coach was like, was he really in? And I was like, he was really in.
He was in.
It was a great run.
It was great. This is exciting. Monday is going to be unbelievable. Walter Hickman III says Wilhelm is Bud Kilmer Jr.
Fine. It is. The sad thing about this, it's second grade. What happens when it's eighth grade?
Oh, my God.
Or it's like, if the opportunity arises for me to coach my son in high school.
If you can somehow get Mason to be about your same height, you easily could go out there for a high school game.
Well, here's the thing. I gotta share this. There's a doorway in my mom and dad's house, okay, that she charted myself and my brother's height, like, since we were Mason's age, or even before.
Uh-huh.
The scary thing about it is, I'm 6'4", 250 pounds. Mason is 2 inches taller than I was when I was 9, and he just turned 8 last March.
Jeez. But you're much bigger than your brothers.
They're 1'6", 1'6", 2".
Okay.
Six two and a half.
What, 6?
6 foot, 6 foot and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've got uncles that are 6'6". Okay. I mean, two of them that played, one played at Ball State, one played at Akron.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's in the blood.
It's in the blood.
It's in the blood. This is a big week. By the way, Brian Vaughn, friend of the show, at @TheReal_BV, says, he says, is this weekend Matt Wilhelm's flag football championship? No, it's just a regular season game, but this is like a rivalry game. But it is essentially the championship.
Well, if we win this, no, there's two divisions.
Okay.
So basically, if we win this, there's a high, then next week's going to be a layup based on the performance thus far, because they keep standings
no
online.
No disrespect if any of those 8-year-olds are listening,
sorry,
by the way.
Okay, this week, we win this week, next week's a layup, and then April 30th is the final game of the season.
Against
the the championship of the North plays the winner of the South.
Are you North or South?
We are North.
I like that. He says, if so, wish him luck. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Gotta love the real BV.
I have.
What a.
I have the playbook with me, and literally what I put, it's my number one. It's on the back of my playbook. I have Giants on the front. It's number one, have fun. Number two, be competitive. Number three, win. Because if you can accomplish one and accomplish two, most likely three is going to happen.
I like that. Win not at the top. Except for this week. If you want to go to Dave and Buster's, having fun. Not enough, folks.
No trophy. No win, no trophy.
No win, no trophy. Tim Greff has a question for you, Gibbs.
Yes.
Will people be allowed to wear jorts and basketball jerseys with no undershirt at your wedding?
I mean, I guess.
How casual?
Do you have security in your budget?
Expect me to make fun. Yo, dude, I had to have a conversation. One of my buddies posted the invite on Facebook. I was like, hey, dude, what are you doing?
Posted it on Facebook.
He's like, yeah, I'm so excited. I just got the invitation. And I'm like, hey, we don't need everybody to know what's going on.
Isn't that a violation?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a violation.
That will get you banned from set events.
Gets an invitation rescinded.
He's like, I didn't even think about that. I go, man.
You're going to get wedding crashers. That's like.
We don't need that.
And you're already, your numbers are going to be so large that you're not even going to know. They're going to blend in.
Not only are the numbers going to be large and blend in, but Gibbs is going to be
deep
into the burrs.
Is he like,
and he's going to see random people and not even care.
What did he say? Uncle Gibbsy or something? What did you say that weekend when you were like going to get some do some drinking when you were all alone?
Oof. I don't know. That was rough. That was a bad weekend.
Uncle Gibbsy. Behind enemy lines thought the line of the opening segment was, if you lose this game, you're just somebody else when Pee-wee pep talks get real.
The thing, and here's the motivation behind it as well, is my kids, I have great kids who, of course, are well-coached and play the game
obviously
as fair as they possibly can.
Yeah,
okay?
And there are some teams in this league,
and I've heard,
that don't do that.
And the rep of the opponent that we play.
The Panthers.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah,
okay.
I did.
The rep of this team is that they are also very talented, but are but play outside the lines, outside the whistles, and just some cheap things. So I'm very cognizant of that, and the same way that I would for my son, for my for my wife, for my daughter. It's like when these kids are under my umbrella, I feel like they're my responsibility.
I like it.
So.
How are the parents?
It's got to go down. I almost got
to
go down.
Parents that want to get a little too.
I had one of my kids get a horse collar, and I looked at the coach, and I go, "Do it again and see what happens." And he goes, "What are you gonna do?" And I, so then.
That's a bad question to ask, Will.
Well, and at that point, I knew that I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's when I literally just went like five consecutive run plays with like I got all my
beef.
I put the beef in. I put the talent in, and I went run, 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 and it was just like. Own these guys. I had to call a TV timeout, got them fired up, and we just lose domination.
Is there anybody in the South Division that you feel like is or the Panthers you feel the other team in the whole league? Or you're not familiar, no scouting yet.
No scouting yet. Because this
why is Dr. Kurt not advanced scouting the South?
Dr. Kurt has been struggling this week. So shout out to Dr. Kurt that he's feeling better. He had tonsillitis and strep.
But he's got a new lady friend. Hasn't she been making him soup and taking care of him?
Maybe that's why he's
I don't know, man. I don't get into that stuff. I just said, are you going to be there on Saturday at 4:15 with bells on?
He said,
That's all I care about.
If they have to wheel me there, I'll be there.
And I actually just scripted it out of defense and sent it to him. He goes, yeah, I like that. He's like, I already kind of do that. That's what I do. So, yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be intense. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Browns schedule came out.
And we're going to talk about that and play the schedule game. Next.
Yeah.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Friday, getting down on a Friday. By the way, some significant news from Dane Brugler just now. I've been trying to brace my fellow Miles Jack fans for this. His rechecks did not go well for several teams. Long-term question marks.
Ooh, that changes things a
little bit. He cost himself some money.
That could put something there. That could certainly put a damper on his thing.
So who was it? Charles Davis, his most recent mock draft that had us taking him at 2?
Yep, sorry.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry.
Not good.
All right, so here's Michael Silver talking on.
But anyway, let's talk a little bit more like Pee-wee football here, real quick. I'm just kidding. Okay, move on.
We're gonna wait till Monday, folks. Yeah. We're gonna get play by play. You know what I think we should do is
if we lose,
can we
don't talk?
If
to me.
You guys win,
yes.
Have somebody? Is somebody videotaping the whole game?
No.
Okay, let's get a crony, get an intern.
Okay.
Film this game.
Okay.
If you win, I propose, Gibbs, I want your thoughts. On Monday, you and I, on my new iPad Pro, put it on the center of the table, watch the game, and you and I commentate it play-by-play, color man.
For the first hour?
As though it were
CBD?
Real. Yeah. So people can have like a live.
Our first guest is until 2 on Monday.
It'll be a live thing.
Maybe I can get somebody to periscope it.
I think.
On Saturday.
You know, my Twitter, Victor.
That's where it's at.
My man Victor Price. Fine beard, strong beard, good opinions, very funny guy. I think he would be a big fan of that.
Okay.
All right. So here's something come up. Mike Silver says, I talked to Hugh about 10 minutes after the trade was announced yesterday. He goes, did he tell you how his Harvard Brain Trust fired scouts who then went and told the Rams the wrong guy? Or he said, and this is from Mike Silver, The Rams and Browns, I believe, he puts that in parentheses, independently arrived at the conclusion that the one guy is the guy. I believe it's the same guy. Now, Mike Silver has said on record that he believes that they have traded up to get Goff. The way that he writes that, and knowing what he knows here, it leads one to the conclusion that the Browns also believe that that guy is Jared Goff.
Yes.
Which it should be for all of these people. I'm just going to go ahead and hope that the defensive-minded coach wants the big physical quarterback who can hand the ball off, take some punishment, use his legs, etc., and he wants Carson Wentz.
Let's just,
because I just don't want to believe it.
No, and I think in that division,
I don't want it. Goff to Cleveland.
Well, that division is, a lot like the AFC North, a very physical defensive division.
It is a very physical defensive division.
Okay, there you go. So very
Wentz,
well could be
Wentz,
true.
Wentz, do it.
Kyrie's playoff sneaks too
are very
super
nice,
super fresh,
super fly. All right, are you ready, Gibbs? Do you have any scheduled game music? Let's go through the Browns schedule announced yesterday. By the way, thanks a lot, NFL schedule makers. No, we wouldn't want to go to Miami in November or December. How about September?
Yeah.
Hey, we would like to start off 5 of our first 7 games on the road. That sounds like a good idea.
And okay, schedule maker, wouldn't want San Diego to come early in the season and go to Miami late.
I actually would want San Diego to come late, and I'd want to go to Miami late, because I think that's an advantage.
I understand that.
As you said, that West Coast bougie team trying to come out here in the snow.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go, guys. Gibbs, you're playing too.
We could be going to San Diego on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
How brutal would that be?
Instead,
we celebrate New Year's Eve in Pittsburgh.
Especially because we're going to spend a year in Pittsburgh. We owe that town nothing. We're going to leave it. 2017 is going to start off on a bad note for Pittsburgh after whatever happens Saturday night. You should come in for that, Wilhelm. It's drivable.
Got to work, man.
What do you mean?
He's got to work. He's got
responsibilities.
He's got TV, radio. He's a
on,
man.
On Saturday a, night at midnight?
Where is he going to be on Sunday?
He can drive. Dude, it's an hour and a half drive. I had to drive in last year Sunday morning.
So, Wilhelm, he's asking you to get polluted on New Year's Eve and then drive back early to be ready to go at 9 a.m. Sunday morning.
In a suit and tie.
Looking like $1 million. The only time.
Looking like nothing.
Long story, but the only time I ever had to do TV on New Year's Day after New Year's Eve, I needed a lot of makeup to cover up some wounds and extracurricular activities from the evening before. Here we go. Schedule game. Gibbs, you're playing. By the way, right now, the bottom rung on the bar has already been set by Pat McManaman, who has done this game and has produced a record of 1-15 for the Cleveland Browns. Unnecessarily harsh. Are you ready, Gibbs?
Yes.
Do you have any cool sound for us?
Week one.
I don't have
that. All right, here we go. Week one at Philadelphia last year, they were 7-9. Obviously, new head coach Doug Peterson, new quarterbacks coach, our former offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. Browns at Eagles. Vegas already with a week one line on this. Browns, 7.5-point underdogs. Gibbs, you go first.
Oh, no. Someone else needs to go.
I'll go first. I'll take Philly.
Hold on.
Philly at home.
Hold on, let me pull out a spreadsheet, and we'll look back at this one.
All right, you know what? I'll go next. I've got the Browns winning the opener.
Gibbs. Ah, Gibbs, I love it. Hold on, here we go. So we got.
Why not? Are you afraid of Sam Bradford?
Weak.
Who else on that team scares
MZ, M-Dubs, JG. All right, week one, at Philly. I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles at home. Wilhelm's taking the Philadelphia Eagles. Gibbs taking the Cleveland Browns. Week two, the Browns return home to face the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, you're losing.
Ravens.
I'm taking the Cleveland Browns in the Hugh World Order's home opener. 1-1, baby.
I don't know if this game was a good idea or a bad idea by the time we get done with this schedule. We might be in meetings.
Listen, it's a tough road for the Browns right now.
I think the schedule, by the way, is tougher than last year.
It is. We're in the top half of the league in terms of winning percentage last year. Week three, the Dolphins 6-10. Tannehill and Dominican Sue, Jarvis Lander, they add Mario Williams. They've hired Adam Gase. They need to find a running back.
That will be, for me, the Browns' first win of the year because the Miami Dolphins, it's not a tough place to play, even though the nightlife, maybe the night before, and hopefully Hugh's very rigid with that, but it's not going to be a raucous crowd or a tough place to play, and I'm not overly impressed with Miami, and I think they're a mess.
Gibbs?
See, this is the game every year. The Browns have one of these. A couple years ago it was Jacksonville. Last year we thought San Diego. One of those games where you're like, this team should win this football game, and they will inevitably lose. And that's what will happen against the Miami
Dolphins. I think what's different in the Hugh World Order.
I don't know. This goes back beyond just the last regime.
All right, Miami for you. The Browns go on a winning streak. Optimismo in full effect. 2-1 in the early going for the Browns.
Riz had 3-1 on RBS.
Riz was at 5-2 at one point.
This year?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's awesome. Week four at Washington. I thought this was going to be the Monday night game. I thought we would get a Monday night game, and I thought it would be this one.
Come on,
RG3 at Washington. What Monday night game ended in more spectacular fashion than our last one?
This is true.
Like, it's early in the season. Probably a good chance, even if we draft a rookie, RG3 starts that game. RG3 Washington? That seems like a good one. All right.
I'll take the Browns.
Wilhelm has them at 2-2, evening their record. Wilhelm, you got the Browns winning 2 in a row on the road.
Yeah, the Road Warriors. They got to.
Yeah, 3 of the first 4 on the road. Schedule makers did not do us any favors. Can we play the bulk of our home games before it gets to be minus 32?
No, our December schedule is going to be brutal.
Jesus, man.
Brutal.
I have Washington.
I have the Washington Redskins as well. All right, week 5.
Patriots.
At home for the New England Patriots. If by some chance there is a Tom Brady suspension this year, this would be his return game.
Patriots.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine that? All right, week 6. The schedule continues. At Tennessee, a team that the Browns have beaten 2 years in a row.
Browns.
I'm going to go Browns.
Last time we were there, it was the largest road comeback in NFL history. We all say the Browns.
Might have been the largest comeback for us after Saturday night, too.
Wow. Yes, seriously. Hey now. All right, week 7. Hugh Jackson returns to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals.
Bengals.
All right, that one is what we call in the business unanimous. Week number 8, the Jets 10-6. They beat them 31-10. The Jets beat the Browns 31-10 in the season opener. Brickishaw Ferguson gone. Chris Ivory gone.
DeMario Davis ours.
Matt Forte in. Ryan Clady in.
Where's this
and
at?
No quarterback.
No quarterback as of now.
As of now.
And it's home?
This is at First Energy Stadium against the Jets.
I like the Browns.
Wilhelm has the Browns on a tear, winning 4 of their last 6 right now. Gibbs?
4 of 6.
Yeah, 4 of the last 6.
I don't know yet. Hold on. You go.
I'm going to take the Jets there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Jets.
I'm glad it took a little bit of debate from a little internal discussion there. All right, so now we're on to the second half of the season. So right now the Browns 5 on the road, 3 at home through the first 8. Here we go for the second half of the season now, weeks number 9 through 10. By the way, last year, if you remember, the Browns had a ton of division games in a row. They're about to be on a massive homestand. The Browns are going to be home week from... When you look at the schedule, it's pretty remarkable. Week 8, week 9, week 10, week 11, week 12, week 13, I believe. Is that right? Maybe just through week 12. But because that Thursday night game is the only road game in that stretch, so they're home that many weekends in a row, which is pretty good. All right, week number 9 versus the Dallas Cowboys. This is the kind of game that the Cowboys blow every
home?
Year. Yeah.
I'll take the Cowboys.
Wilhelm, Zachary, if you don't take out Tony Romo, I will.
You can't take them out.
Cowboys.
Me too. Week 10, Thursday night football at Baltimore.
Ravens.
I think there's a shot. I'm going to pick Baltimore, but I'm truly on the fence on that one. Because the Browns actually bring the A game on short turnarounds.
We've beat Cincinnati. And then last year we played Cincinnati tough until the very end when it ended up looking much worse than it was.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to take Baltimore, but there's a chance.
Week 11, the Browns face the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Where?
At home.
Steelers.
Yeah, see, now we're getting into this. I'm picking a win here. I don't think the Browns are going to lose 5 in a row at any point this season. So I'm taking the Browns here. Just more looking at it from like a quadrant portion of the schedule. All right, week number 12, the Browns host the New York Giants under the head coaching of, isn't it Ben McAdoo now?
Yes, Browns.
I go Browns.
Okay, all right.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. It's a 2-game streak. Let's go.
Going into the bye week with a win.
Week 13 is the bye. Week 14. Oh, week 13, I'm sorry. We have the bye. Then their 13th game.
Is that the last bye week of the year, too?
Yes, week 13. You can't have a bye that late. It's only the Browns and the Titans. Ugh. Bengals at home. Not been a good matchup for the Browns.
Bengals.
So Cincinnati gets the sweep, huh? All right, week 15 at Buffalo in what should be awful conditions.
Can't wait for you to be on the sideline for that.
Ugh.
And I would like, I make fun of you, but like we open the windows and we're there 4 hours before you even get to the stadium.
So whatever it is outside,
minus the precipitation.
Precipitation.
Yeah, that's my.
Who do they have at running back?
Shady.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Bills.
I'm going to go Bills here.
I'm going Bills as well. Week 16 at home versus the bougie Chargers.
Browns.
Christmas Eve, baby. I'll go Browns.
Me too. And then week 17 at Pittsburgh.
Happy Pittsburgh. New Year. Pittsburgh.
All right. So here it is. Final totals. Gibbs. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 12. Jason Gibbs.
That's about right.
Matt Wilhelm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 10. Matt Wilhelm. Nathan Zagura, a.k.a. Optimismo.
7 and 9. One better than me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 10.
6 and 10. Just a different 6.
Just a different 6.
What our one difference is Washington and who else?
I have the Browns beating Baltimore once and the Browns beating the Steelers once. I have the Browns swept by Cincinnati, so 2 and 4 in the division.
Do I have them over in the division?
I think I might.
Let's see. Baltimore? No. Cincinnati? No. Baltimore, new. Pittsburgh, new. Cincinnati, new.
Yeah.
And going 6 and 10.
Yeah.
All right. You have wins. Gibbs as the Browns beating the Eagles week 1, Tennessee week 7, the Giants week 12, and I'm sorry, Tennessee was week 6, and the Chargers week 16. Wilhelm, Miami and Washington's week 3 and 4, Tennessee week 6, the Jets week 8, the Giants week 12, and the Chargers. And I have Baltimore, Miami, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, the Giants, and San Diego.
I still feel like that Thursday night game against Baltimore and that game against the Bills could go either way.
Yeah.
Could go either way there.
I just feel like they'll win
a division game that we're not thinking about.
What's that?
They'll win a couple division games.
I don't know about a couple. I think they'll win one division game we're not giving them credit for. And I think that's where Zagura had. You have them winning, going what, 1 and 5 in the division? 2 and 4.
2 and 4.
Okay. They're going to win a division game that I didn't count, and they'll lose one of the others.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, I wonder, in Vegas, I bet it's going to be 4.5. Is it out already, the season win totals?
I have not seen those. I've just seen week 1 spreads.
All right. So that's the schedule game. We'll take a look at that, and we'll take a break, and I'll look and see if there's preliminary ones. I don't think they would do that before the draft. Do you?
No.
No, that seems like it would be foolish. It would be foolish. So that's schedule game. All right, so what are you guys looking forward to on this schedule? Let us know. Call us up. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Still to come today at 2 o'clock, Lance Zierlein, draft analyst for NFL.com. We'll get his takes on the prospects, the big trade, what he thinks it means. Also, he had a very interesting mock post the trade that does not have the Browns taking a quarterback at number 2. We'll find out what he thinks. We still have our mock draft, the Friday forecast, and more coming up here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura stepped out to take care of some business, but there is some business on the phone line. Let's go to Daquan in Bedford. What's up, Daquan?
What's up?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I wanted to talk about the draft real quick.
Sure. Go
and
ahead.
Also, the Browns will go at least 3-3 in the division this year.
All right. I like
but,
that.
the receiver I think we should get is Sterling Shepard.
Out of Oklahoma.
I like Braxton Miller. Yeah. And Leonte Carew.
That's Nathan's guy.
Also, what do you think about picking up Jalen Smith in later rounds? and I don't think we're going to draft a quarterback in the first round at all.
I don't necessarily – thanks for the call, Daquan. Appreciate it. I don't necessarily know. I understand Jalen Smith has the
– it looks like he's going to miss all of 2016.
Correct.
With that
and,
physical.
And I just feel that with the EFO draft last year in the seventh round and him not technically being ready, it may in fact give, you know, Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, you know, I don't want to say a bad – maybe a bad taste in their mouth about doing it again and playing that waiting game. Even though you have some of those picks, I just feel that they need to go get contributors for this football team and get competitive as fast as they can right now. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tim in Brunswick. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
I have a question for you here about I read a couple articles. I get the Medina paper. I get the Plain Dealer, and I get the Beacon Journal.
All right.
And each one of them had something from Sashi Brown in there, and he mm-hmm. was talking, saying, well, there's going to be a lot of teams asking us to trade down because you got this player, and you name like 5 or 6 top-notch players. And I'm just wondering, why would you trade down when you could grab one of these players? Wouldn't you want one? I mean, I understand getting more picks, but I don't understand giving up some of these top guys that we could actually use right
now. Who are those top guys you think we could use right now?
Well, one was Jack. That I don't know, his last name's Jack.
Miles Jack from UCLA.
Right. And then there was a Buckner. Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
And then there were 2 other ones I don't remember. There were 2 other ones he gave out that Sashi brought up. And he says, I know these teams are going to start hitting us up within this week coming up for this. And I'm just wondering what his thinking is to get more picks. We already have 10. And I would say just stand back and use the 10 on all the players that we can get, right?
I think if you can trade down and stay in the top 8, you can still get one of those players because you know the quarterbacks are going 1-2, which pushes everybody else down.
Right.
So you're going to be able to get one of those guys if you stay in the top 8, probably pick up a first for the following season as well, so you'd have 2 ones next year. So I think that's why you look at it in terms of just acquiring assets, accumulating assets. You'll probably get another mid-round pick as well if you make a move like that. So that's why you would do it. I do think that you could, you know, obviously, stay there, take a star. I believe if you're not taking a quarterback, you're a team that has so many needs. There isn't one franchise-changing player on defense. There's no Lawrence Taylor in this draft or J.J. Watt. So I think that you try to move back just a little bit and still get more assets, but still get one of those guys that you believe is in that elite level.
That's what I've said all along.
And I think that's the key. By the way, the over-unders are out, and I just looked at it. What did
really?
I say? What did I say going into the break?
4.5.
And sure enough. It is 4.5 right now. And it is cheaper to bet on the over than the under. So people think 4-12 or worse is more likely right now for the Browns. That is, just FYI, just an interest disclosure, that is the lowest total in the league. San Francisco's 5. Tennessee is 5.5. The Browns at 4.5 are the least projected. You know, and as I was thinking about it, contemplating, you know, as I had an opportunity to do there for a moment, I think 16-0 is really the right projection for the Browns. You know what I mean? Until you lose, you have not been beaten.
And the Hugh World Order is intact.
The Hugh World Order has not lost. Not once. What if they go to – I'd like to see them go into Philly and get a win. It's a new team there. You're dealing with, you know, Sam Bradford, Chase Daniel. Those are beatable quarterbacks.
Yeah, they've got – and I think as I listened to McMenamin on RBS and I you know, just dove in briefly to some of his descriptions of the football games and why he chooses us to lose and why he has us at 1-15. At this point right now, and I think it's – and he's got a fairly good point, is when you look at the teams on our schedule, 1-16, there are a majority of the teams are more talented than as the Cleveland Browns sit right now.
Yeah, we should play the schedule game the week after the draft.
And yeah, exactly. Their teams are just more talented than the Cleveland Browns as we sit right now. And for that reason, you sway in the favor of talent. Will you grit out a couple games? Sure. Will you win a couple in the division that, you know, that, like I said, even after saying that they are going to go 0-6, they're going to win one or two, you know? That's just natural. As you line them up, they're more talented. The same way if you look at the NBA playoffs at this point, okay? Half the league's eliminated, half moves on. For the most part, okay? The teams that have the most talent are most likely going to be the ones that continue to move on and move on and move on. And then the really, really good teams are the ones that have to that have the ability to compete for the championship. And in some cases, just like in football, there's maybe 6 of them,
yep.
8 of them out of 32.
Yep.
There's really 6 in the NBA competing for a title. And you could probably name them off very quickly.
I think there's 4.
I'm just being a little bit broader.
Yeah.
Because there's always a wild card or two. The Thunder, the Warriors, the Spurs, the Cavs.
Yeah, that would have been my 4.
There's your 4.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll throw the Raptors making a splash, maybe.
Okay.
As a 5th. And I don't know who your 6th is. That's it. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, pretty much it.
And those are the most talented and best teams out there.
Yes, by far. And you come into the season, as you said, in the National Football League. You have an idea of who's slated to contend. Obviously, every year somebody kind of shows up and you see what happens. But
a few go up and play better than you would have thought. And as always,
some fail.
Some fail.
Some bust out.
And that's why, you know, A, we're not selecting one this year, or at least not anymore. And we're selecting 2 with 3 wins.
16-0. Gibbs.
Hello.
Do you feel better?
Oh,
no.
God.
No. Just say no now.
I don't
now.
Know. Do you feel better, Nathan?
I do. Do you feel better about – could you feel better? Because in yours, you're 4-12. Could you feel better at 4-12 coming out of this season than you did in years past?
Wait, repeat that question?
If the Browns do go 4-12, as you say, as you're projecting, could you feel better about that at the end of the year and say, oh, we actually are, maybe we're building something here than maybe in years past?
Depending on what because you do of in the draft.
The way the roster is made up.
Yeah, it truly depends what happens with this roster. Like, I've got to see improvement. Here's the problem since 1999. After Halloween, this team sucks. For the last 2 months,
except for Mangini's year, right? His last year,
that trickled.
Didn't they go 4-0 and then he got fired anyway at the end of that season?
No, they brought him back. I'm pretty sure they brought him back and then he pooped the bed.
And then that was it.
Yeah, I think I might be wrong on that. Might be very wrong on that. But from November, we always say, I just want to see this team play meaningful football in December. That's what I want. I want to at least see, you know, I will say this about Rob Chudzinski's team that one year that he was here. They competed every week until that Jets game in week 16.
Yes.
They were in every game. No one, they never got blown out.
The losses back to back, it was, I believe it was Jacksonville and New England.
I think that
crushed them.
Well, that New England game.
Yeah.
I mean that, but again, show me to the point where by November and December, look, I'm not expecting a lot of wins because I know that this is going to take some time. And I've made my peace with it. I understand that it's, you know, I know what Hugh was saying, and Hugh's saying the right thing, and he's got the right attitude in that building to dispute that. But I also know realistically it's a very tough schedule. You lost a lot of guys that you have to replace. You know, that might be a positive. That might be a negative. We don't know yet. But you got to see how these guys develop, how these guys come along. I just want to see competitive football in December. I don't want to wake up in the morning and be on my way to the stadium and go, oh, God, here we go again. And, like, how bad is this going
to
get today?
And to continue that point, what makes this schedule so difficult is I don't think it's the NFC or AFC East. It's our division being as solid as it is, knowing the Ravens are going to rebound, the Bengals aren't going to have a significant drop-off, and the Steelers are just going to be the Steelers. That's what makes our schedule tough, okay? Because if you really look at it, I think what makes it tough is five of the first seven on the road makes it tough.
Absolutely.
I think the late bye makes it tough. I think the wintry December, you know, the four consecutive, the three at home and the one in Buffalo will make it tough, especially if it's the – when you get to that point, if things aren't going good,
that's when
guys, I hate to say it, and I know that Hugh Jackson can change their mentality, guys start to pack it in when it gets a little cold, you know, you're not hitting as hard, and you're competing for nothing. Because if you look at the AFC East, there's the Patriots. I think there's going to be drop-off from the Jets. I think the Bills are middle of the road, and I think Dolphins aren't as good as people have put them up to be, even though they're, you know, they're highly talented and highly overpaid. You look at the mediocrity that makes up the NFC East, you know, how much relies on Tony Romo? Is he healthy? Is he not?
They could be
5-11. They could be 11-5.
Yes.
You look at the Giants. The Giants have gone 6 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins in the last 3 years. The Redskins are a crapshoot because of Kirk Cousins, and they're fluky. And the Eagles, as you mentioned, we could possibly go there and win week one because of all the changeover they've had.
It is important that they find a way to win some of these close games and build on it. And you were right, Gibbs. Mangini won his final four in his first season, lost his final four in his last season.
Yeah, I I'm not saying.
But that was something you felt that you could build on. That was something you thought, okay, we won the final four.
Let's
build
on games. This. And I mean, they looked good doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you've got to win out, you've got to have a winning record in December. I'm not saying, hey.
I want to see this team playing better football.
Yes.
As the season progresses and playing their best football in December, whether
regardless
if they're
seen.
In it or not, that's what I want to see.
Which we haven't seen.
Right. That's what I want to see.
And I think to continue that same point, them playing competitive football moving forward, I want to see competitive football being played in December so that I feel that Hugh has captivated this team and keeps their heads in it and competing for 16 weeks. Because for them to potentially, you know, win their division or make a playoff run, you've got to be able to play for 16 weeks, okay,
yes.
To stay in it. And then to possibly continue. The other thing that I want to see, and I think to truly compete in this division, as you see year in, year out, you know, we finish at Pittsburgh, we get Pittsburgh at home, you know, them playing well in December, because to win in this division, you have to win the games that matter in the last month of your season. So we could go 1-7 to start the season and finish 5-8, and I'm good.
Real good.
Real good.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Lance Zierlein, NFL.com draft analyst. He will be with us talking about the trade that happened yesterday, the Browns trade, what he thinks of these prospects, and more on CBD.